Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, January 8th, 2018. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. We'll spend the entire show talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and their latest playoff disaster, this time against the Tennessee Titans, once again at Arrowhead Stadium. Once again, in embarrassing fashion. This time blowing a 21-3 lead and losing 22-21 to the Tennessee Titans in the wild card round of the playoffs. I will start with reality, what's going on right now in Kansas City. Look, I've been coming out to Union Broadcasting out here in these headquarters for a decade and a half since we moved our studios out here. Most of you know I live up north off of 29 and Berry Road, and I've had some interesting drives to Overland Park. I've had some interesting drives out here to 121st and Metcalf over my 15 years coming out here. I'm going to have to sit later on and think long and hard if I've had a more treacherous drive to work than I had today. And so I beg of you people, if you're at home and you don't have to go anywhere, don't. And number two, if you do have to go somewhere, leave way, way earlier than you normally do, because for most of my drive out here, it was a sheet of ice on the road. And I'll give you an example. Okay, so 635, avoid 635 with everything you got. There's just an awful, awful wreck that had 635 down to one lane, maybe a mile or two before you get to 35 on 635. Once you pass Metropolitan, terrible, awful, down to one lane. And then when you get to 69, because I take 35 to 69, and then take 69 to 435 West. When you get off of 69 to get on 435, that little interchange right there, literally seven cars are just stopped because it's too slick, because they can't move either on the side of the road or right in the middle of it. As most people found out that were trying to drive through that. So it is an obstacle course getting around the cars, and there are at least three emergency vehicles trying to block some of the cars that are on the side of the road so you could see them. So you could see ahead, though, there's something coming on, but there's just too many cars that have either wrecked or just can't go. And so you're getting off on 69, you get on to 435 West, and you're trying to drive through all the cars and avoid some wreckage that's on the ground and make sure that you don't, while you're doing this, lose control and wreck into one of those cars. And I'm still shocked that I didn't hit anything, that was out there, because that was looking at it, go, oh boy. But once you realize, What you're in, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to get off, and you can't back up or anything. And so white knuckle driving, and I mean, that's like that many, many places. I stopped keeping count when it got to 20 cars that are either pulled over or that were wrecked, and at least 10 emergency vehicles that are on the side of the road. There's just too many cars that are incapacitated right now for them to be able to help with. And so, again, be careful. It's a lot of the ice you can't even see, black ice. And so, I mean, there's just nothing you can do. You can't hurry up. You can't speed up. You can't get impatient. You can't get mad. And so please, that's the number one thing. Be careful. Please be careful. And if you're home and you don't have to go anywhere, or if you're at work, chill out and stay there and let the trucks and the salt trucks and the crews catch up with what the hell's going on out there. I know you guys don't go as far as I do, but I don't know if you experienced any of that, but I've never driven out here on the Kansas side on roads that were as slick as what I experienced this morning.
Yeah, I'm very thankful on a day like today that I don't have to go very far, but as soon as I pulled out of the driveway, you could see on the road, the street that I live on, just crystals everywhere. You could tell that it was a sheet of ice. So, yeah, it's bad out there.
And be very careful getting off the highway. Very careful. It's another getting off on Metcalf. There were a couple of cars that took that too fast. And so that's it. We'll get that. That's more important than any football game. I want everyone to be safe and take their time and understand that there's a lot to deal with out there on the road today, as it is ice, a lot of ice, like a skating rink in a lot of parts on my trip from the Northland out here to Overland Park. Now to the Chiefs game. Look, it is what it is. They lost again. You know, it's throughout the season, we felt differently. I use the term roller coaster ride, which is what it was. There's so many ups and downs and peaks and valleys. Rewind to the Monday after the playoff loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm just rewinding and telling you what I said then, what I thought then. I was done with Alex Smith as quarterback of the Chiefs, and I was done with the way things were structured with that football team, because I felt like if they did it again and they went that way again, it was just going to be the same thing with the same ending. We knew what was going to happen, no matter what happened in the regular season, and it was going to be a waste of time. And I remember that. I remember that very well. You get through the off season. The Chiefs decide to draft Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs, because of that, really couldn't add much in the draft. They had a Kareem Hunt. That's a huge impact player, but you couldn't get anything from the first round. You didn't get much from the second round because you picked more of a project player in Tino Pasigno. Got a hell of a player in the third round. There wasn't a whole lot added in the offseason. There wasn't a whole lot of reasons to expect anything different in the offseason. Then opening night in New England happened. And then they won a few more games in a row. And it changed everyone's perspective. And many of us bought into the idea that the Chiefs were a Super Bowl contender. Then they fell apart. And they reminded us that it is a flawed team. They're a flawed team. Alex Smith, after getting off to an MVP, and really this isn't about Alex Smith. I'm just telling you how opinions changed over the past calendar year. And so then the team began to struggle. They had ridiculous losses to the Jets and the Giants and the Bills. It's not ridiculous to lose to Pittsburgh. It's not ridiculous to lose to Dallas. But those other teams, it was. And then we wondered if the team could even get to the playoffs after thinking they were a Super Bowl contender. And another conversation I remember with Jeff Chedia here, after they had struggled and gave away their lead, we looked at the rest of the schedule and look, it's all laid out for them. There's just not much there, except maybe San Diego is a good team, but they could win the rest of their games. They could win out, and we could find nothing out about them until the playoffs. They won't be tested again into the playoffs. Now, they were tested by San Diego or L.A., tested by the Chargers. That was a big game. But how good were the Chargers? How good are the Chargers? We don't know. They weren't a playoff team. That's fact. You can think they're a playoff-caliber team. The postseason has happened, and they're not involved. They were not a playoff team. And so the Chiefs were able to put together a winning streak against subpar competition, against bad football teams. And we kind of got into it between me and you and Jeff. He said, well, aren't you going to feel better if they win all those games? I said, well, yeah, but it's not going to show us anything. It's not going to tell us if they've turned things around, because they're not going to be playing against really quality competition. We won't really know until we get to the playoffs. Unfortunately, that was a true statement because we didn't know until they got to the playoffs. And then we found out it was all a lie. They were paper champions. They're a solid football team, a good football team, not a championship contender, not an elite football team, not a good enough football team to advance in the playoffs. And the number one person to blame is Andy Reid because it's his football team. The GM is gone. I'm not going to say he ran him off, but he did nothing to keep him here. Okay, he has his guy, his hand-picked guy, in Brett Veach to replace John Dorsey. Dorsey's gone, so this is all Andy Reid. This is everything Andy Reid. All right, he's one of the highest-paid coaches in the NFL, with right there among the coaches that have the most power within their franchise. Does anyone dispute that? He calls all the shots. It's Andy Reid's program. It's his football team. And it's even more his football team without Dorsey here. And so he is the number one person to blame. Period. The buck stops with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is unwilling to answer any questions about the quarterback situation, about the coordinator situation, which is fine. It was the day after. If anyone expected anything different from his press conference yesterday, then you haven't listened to Andy Reid over the past 5 years. He was going to say nothing. No matter what you asked him, he was going to give nothing. He was going to get irritated like he did when he was asked about coordinators. He was going to tell you that, wow, that's not where I'm at. And he said, well, that's not where I'm at. There was nothing there. There was nothing really of value to take away from his press conference yesterday. I went out there to try to talk to some players yesterday. The only three players that agreed to speak to the media yesterday, Derek Johnson, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Darrell Revis. Other players are in there. Patrick Mahomes is there. I saw him, but he just kind of walked through, so nobody even had a chance to ask him to talk. Charcandrick West was going to talk, but then he had to go take a physical. Ron Parker declined speaking to the media, which normally he does talk, but he did not want to talk. Leon McQuay was in there, and that's there you go. That's really about it. Some practice squad guys, Mitchell Schwartz, I think was in there. He did not want to talk. And so that was it. Three players. So credit to whatever that means to you. Derek Johnson, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Darrell Revis all spoke. I had a chance to ask a few questions of Derek Johnson. We'll play that in the next couple of segments. And so that's what the scene was at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. Why did they lose? What happened on Saturday? You got 4 hours? That's how long it's going to take to run down all the reasons why. They're all written here on this piece of paper that I like to throw away, but I can't. I'm going to refer to this. I don't want to forget all the reasons why they lost that game to the Tennessee Titans. So, here's where we are. One and done again. Still haven't won a home playoff game since Joe Montana was in a Chiefs uniform. That's true. That happened. And another loss that years from now we'll ask ourselves, how in the hell did they lose to that Tennessee Titans team? How did that happen? How did that happen? We're going to take a break, and we're going to get into that. We're all going to give our thoughts as to what happened and what the future holds. But I will say this, it's really, really hard not to feel like this season was one big waste of everyone's time. Because we're right back to where we were a year ago after that Pittsburgh game. Right back where we were. The only difference is they got a quarterback, a franchise quarterback of the future that they could turn to. That's the only difference from this year and last year. That's it. What else is different? Nothing. Same thing. Same excuses. same sorry ass excuses. From Andy Reid all the way down. Same thing. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There's a lengthy list of reasons why the Chiefs lost on Saturday. And so you guys feel free to add to them. Add to the list if you feel like it's incomplete. And one thing that is irritating me, and I get there's plenty of people out there that just don't want to hear any complaints about officiating. You know, that's for losers. Listen to me. It's totally accurate to say that the Chiefs were terrible in the second half and the officiating was terrible, embarrassingly bad on Saturday. Both can be true. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be, well, they're talking about the officiating, so they're blaming the officials, and that's... No, no. I blame Andy Reid and the Chiefs because they were awful in the second half. That's number one. But to say the officiating wasn't just terrible, then you don't know anything about football. If you watch that game and you think the Derrick Johnson sack wasn't just a sack and a fumble by Mariota and a recovery by the Chiefs, if that's not what you saw, then you've never watched organized football. Then all these sacks and fumbles that I've seen over my 40 years of watching football, they're all forward progress. Wave them all off. There was nothing quirky about that play. There was nothing unique about that play. It was Derrick Johnson hitting the quarterback, making him fumble, and the defense recovering it. That's all. There's nothing different about that play than any other sack, strip, and recovery that we've seen at Arrowhead. Was there? Was there anything different about that play? Jake, you've watched it. Was there anything different to you about that play when it happened? Like, wait a minute. Let's see here. The only thing that you had to see, the only thing that was worth reviewing was if the ball was out. And the ball was out. Right?
The only thing different about it was there was a dinosaur refereeing the game who was too slow to see the action as it was happening in front of him on the field.
But what was that forward progress? What are you talking about?
Just trying to justify a premature whistle is all
he's
that is.
He's standing there, he's going to deliver a pass, and he got sacked, and he fumbled.
Yeah,
what are you talking about, forward progress?
Just a joke.
And so Derrick Johnson's at his locker yesterday, because when he talked about the game right after the game, obviously he had not seen replays and had a chance to see the replays and think about it. So Derrick Johnson was at his locker yesterday, and I asked him about that play.
Have you watched the replay of the forward progress play where they didn't call the fumble that you caused on Mariota?
Yeah, that was a bad call. That was a bad call. I've never seen anything like it. Usually they call the forward progress if, you know, it's a struggle tackle, boom, and then you go back. But that was a smack right now to the ground, balls out. That just, you know, that, even with that, still have plenty of chances to win. But that one, I don't understand that one.
That's exactly right. Bad call. He's never seen anything like it before. But even with that, they still had chances to win the game. Now, do we have a problem with that statement?
No. It's all true.
And I know you're as hard as anyone about complaining about the officials, but I mean, it's not complaining about the officials, just stating a fact.
Yeah.
That was a terrible call that gave points to Tennessee.
Yep.
Now, the Chiefs still should have won the game. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs still should have won the game. But the NFL owes everyone an explanation as to why this man was officiating a playoff game, since he hasn't officiated in a playoff game since 2013 And now, according to several reports, he's retiring. So essentially what that was an undeserving official out there for a postseason game getting a retirement gift from the NFL. That's what we saw.
Yep.
He didn't deserve to be out there. It was his final. They knew he was going to retire. Hey, there you go. Thanks for a great career. Go and take a dump on a postseason game. And Jeff Triplett did. If he wanted to leave his mark in his final game and make it memorable, he certainly did. Will you ever forget him? I won't. All right?
Nope.
There. And we could save the 2-point conversion recovery and return for another day and all kinds of great stuff, but bottom line is this. The Chiefs should have won the game, but the officiating was terrible. And the NFL should be embarrassed.
Clark Hunt ought to go nuts on the NFL league office for allowing that man to referee a playoff game.
He had to go ham.
He should.
Hard as a... Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Later on, we have Sam Mellinger in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Had a chance to see Sammy. We had a lonely walk together out away from Arrowhead Stadium. We were both anxious to leave at the point that we left. And we just walked and talked for a while. And I feel like I got a lot out of my system. Off my chest with Sam. I think he desperately wanted to get in his car and leave. And I would not stop talking about the game. And I said, see you tomorrow, Sammy. We'll also talk to Herm Edwards and Gary Lezak, who I saw at halftime of the game. Right after things went downhill. Mark Boerichter is going to join us in just a second. But let me say one other thing about, because this is another polarizing topic that we'll have to address, about Alex Smith. It was almost like it was there's something for everyone there for Alex Smith, whether you love him or don't, whether you defend him or not. He could not have played much better than he did in the first half. And he had everything to do with why the Chiefs were up 21-3. And if you're complaining about what Alex Smith did in the first half, well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what else you'd like to see from a quarterback. Now, in the second half, the offense scored 0 at home in a playoff game. And the offense, once again, a recurring theme this year, had the football in their hands with a chance to win the game. And again, they didn't do it. The offense. The play calling was terrible. But the quarterback has to take some blame too. If you quarterback an offense that scored 0 points, and if you had the ball in your hands with a chance to win it with a field goal and you failed, well, you failed. Let's go to Mark Boerichter. Hello, Mark Boerichter. How are you?
Hello, Steven. How are you? Hello, Nate. Welcome back, Jake, to joyous Kansas City.
So what?
Yeah, this is something he's really
welcome back to what?
Anticipating.
Mark Boerichter, so many things, and we're going to get to them, and I'll try to get down this list, but just some of the things, some of the reasons, and I think all real valid reasons why the Chiefs lost that game, and these are not excuses, that these all happen, okay? Travis Kelce getting hurt was a devastating blow that the Chiefs offense was unable, and play calling, unable to overcome. And we were reminded exactly how valuable Travis Kelce is to the offense when he was injured and unable to return. Bob Sutton, in his inability or unwillingness to make adjustments and to coordinate a defense that can do anything to stop a running game in the offense, Bob Sutton deserves blame. Look, this team did not play well enough offensively or defensively in the second half to win a playoff game. Mark, when you look back a couple of days later, what stands out to you as the biggest reasons why the Chiefs lost that game to the Titans?
All of the above. I think, and I'll list a few more that I'm sure you probably already talked about and will, you know, as we move forward. I think that there's so many different things happen in this game that really make you wonder if, you know, this organization is cursed. And when I say that is, you know, the Marcus Mariota play, where the ball gets bad, he catches it, actually makes a heck of a play to catch the football and then get in the end zone. I mean, I'll give him some credit on that. You know, just kind of a freak play. But I think overall, like, just so many different things happen. The missed field goal, which at the time you didn't think, you know, that's going to be a difference. It turned out to be a difference. Alex Smith playing lights out in the first half, only having four incompletions, and two of those are drops by Tyreek Hill. I think comes out in the second half and then can't do anything, and this entire offense couldn't. And I put a big portion of where the momentum happened, I think, on the defense at the start of the second half. I mean, when the Chiefs go down and DeMarcus Robinson about commits one of the biggest blunders ever by not running out of bounds. And I'm still not 100% sure if he didn't run the wrong route on his touchdown catch with about, you know, 14 seconds to go, and Alex just happened to find him. But he redeemed himself. They go into halftime, up 21-3, come out of halftime, kick off the football to Tennessee, and Tennessee goes on an 8-minute and 30-second drive to start the second half and scores. And, you know, to me, that was the killer right there, because when they went down and scored and started the wheels in motion, I was starting to get worried, because that offense now, the Kansas City Chiefs, who had it looked so good in the first half, now sat through halftime on a cold day, comes out and sits for another 8 minutes and 30 seconds without even getting on the field. And it turns into a game where you're only going to have a couple possessions in the second half, and you got to make the most of them, and they didn't. So I'll sum it up this way, Stephen, that I think, you know, we always talk about playing complimentary football, right? This team played complimentary football on Sunday to lose, and it was a losing complimentary football. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, even though they had an opportunity to win the football game. And I think that's where it comes from. I mean, you can't give up 200 yards rushing in the playoffs to an opposing team. And 170 for a back.
Oh, yes, you can. They've done it 2 years in a row now. So
I mean, that's exactly where I was going with this, though, Stephen. I was like, you can't do it. And now we've seen it for 2 years in a row, right? 2 years in a row, a back has gone for over 170 yards. Kareem Hunt, who leads the league in rushing, only gets 11 carries on the day. And I mean, I listened to the argument that Tennessee had a top five rushing defense. I get that. But when you have the league's leading rusher and he only touches it 11 times, I mean, there are so many colossal failures, I guess, is the best way to put it, when looking at this game and what happened on Saturday. There's just so many different. That's why I say it was overall a complimentary losing effort.
I'm glad you said that. And Nate, go ahead and ask Mark your next question, but I will back that up. I know the flow of the game dictates things. But the Chiefs, offensively and defensively, far too often let the opposition dictate what they're going to do. Like they dictate whether Justin Houston's going to rush the passer or if he's in pass coverage. Bob Sutton allows the opposing offense to dictate that. If you had a home playoff game and you led most of the game and then you end up losing at the end and you look at the box score and the NFL's leading rusher that's on your team had 11 carries, you failed. You failed. If Kareem Hunt ends up the game with 11 carries and it was a one-point loss and you led most of it, you failed. And you had 0 points in the second half. You, as a team, as an offense, failed. Nate.
I mean, I totally agree. And I think there's reasons for it, too, that I'm not saying these are excuses for not giving the ball, but you mentioned it, Mark, that the fact that the offense couldn't get on the field or stay on the field in the second half, part of that was because of the defense, you know, couldn't get off the field. But part of it was because the Chiefs had some crucial drops on what would have been first down conversions in that second half. If you convert those first downs, you get to keep trying to execute your offense and run the ball. And they just, you tell me, I mean, like, especially the drop by Charles, number 82, on that third down conversion. To me, those are crucial plays through the course of the game, Mark.
No, they are crucial plays. That's why I say it was a colossal failure on all ends, right? Like in terms of playing complementary football, because you're exactly right. I mean, I'll say this from an offensive perspective, right? That you have to be, if you're only going to get the ball 3 to 4 times in the second half, as the Chiefs did on Saturday, you got to be darn near perfect. And when I say that is, you're only going to have a certain, you know, 3 to 4 opportunities to score any points. And we've seen this team over the course of the year settle for an absolute ton of field goals anyway. All right? So you can't go out and drop a ball that's, you know, to Charles. Yeah, should the ball have been out a little bit more in front of him? Yeah, it should have. But it was on his hip. It was on his back hip. He should have caught it. You got to make those plays. And I'm going to give Alex Smith a little bit of credit here. There were a couple times, and when I say this, first of all, I'll start with a negative. There were a couple times in that final drive that he really ducked his head real quick. His eyes came from downfield back to looking at the rush with some happy feet. But I am going to give him credit on the fourth down throw, guys, because I went back and watched the fourth down throw to Albert Wilson, and that ball's put where it needs to be put. Now, do I like the play call of going basically 3 to 4 verticals in that situation? Not necessarily. But he put that ball over top of a defender and in front of the safety, and Albert Wilson just mistimes his jump a little bit to go get the football. And when he does that, he doesn't end up getting it at its highest point. So it goes off of his fingertips, and I know he would have had to hang on because he was going to get blown up and everything else. But that's what the National Football League has won in the playoffs, is making plays like that when it's on the line. And I thought, and when I say this, I thought Alex Smith made the throw when he needed to make the throw there. Now, that being said, Nate, to your point, over the course of, you know, the second half, the play calling got extremely conservative. It got back to the Andy Reid style of, we're going to play not to lose. We're in control of this thing. But yet you weren't in control of it. And just overall, played not to lose. And then, you know, when you need some extra guys to step up, they didn't step up. And that whole formula, when you add all, I mean, I'm no mathematician, but when you start adding up all those factors, and they don't add up right, and you don't get the contributions from the people you need, then you know, you're sitting here again at home and watching everybody else move on.
Mark Boerichter is our guest. We'll take a break, Mark. We'll do another quick segment. We appreciate your time. That's Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, who takes part in the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show every Sunday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Jake will play this and then get back with Mark Boerichter. Here, I asked Derrick Johnson yesterday out at Arrowhead about the defensive performance in the second half.
Wrong for the defense in the second half.
Second half didn't stop the run. Didn't stop the run. They did a great job with that big running back. We had some chances, even though they were moving the ball some. We still had some chances where you say, hey, let's just stop them here. Didn't do it.
Mark Boerichter, Bob Sutton right now under fire, and most people feel like a parting of ways should happen between the Chiefs and Bob Sutton, especially after you talked about the run defense just failed miserably last year in the playoffs and this year in the playoffs. What do you think? Has Bob Sutton coached his last game for the Chiefs?
I don't know the answer to that question, Stephen. I will tell you this, that...
Should it be his last game?
Well, yeah, this is where I'm going with this. I think, you know, first of all, let me say this. I've been fired before, right? Like most people are having been around for something at some point, right? And I don't want to see anybody lose their job, but this is the National Football League. And at some point, defensive coordinator-wise, you got to get the job done. And I'm going to say I'm a really good person to talk on this subject because, you know, I was a part of one of these playoff losses, right, back in 2003. And it was pretty clear even before that, that there probably should have been a change made, and there wasn't on the defensive side of the football. And I'm not saying that that cost us, but it certainly sets you back. And when you have an opportunity in the playoffs to do some good things and go some places, and that change isn't made. And but guys in the locker room see it too, you know. And I don't care whether you want to say that, you know, defensively and offensively, guys are on the same page in a sense, you know, in that locker room, or they're not. You know, but there's some animosity there. I guarantee you there is a little bit. And, yeah, I think there, just to long-winded version to sum this up, I think there needs to be a change made. I really do. Now, is he a bit hamstrung a little bit? You know, yes, Eric Berry's been out. You know, they've had to deal with some injuries. He's had to deal with a secondary outside of Marcus Peters with Eric Berry being out that really isn't that great. I mean, they brought Darrell Revis in from off the street, you know, down the stretch just to give him a push. I think that the talent level there, they've got some gaping holes. And, guys, I don't know what happened to Justin Houston, but he has completely fallen off the map. And a big portion of that, I think, is a little bit of the scheme. He's dropping into coverage way more than he should. I mean, he should rush the passer every single down. But I mean, there's a lot of issues on the defensive side, too. You can argue it's personnel, an older defense in some of the positions. But I think schematically it's time for a change. And, you know, sometimes change is good and sometimes change needs to happen. And you know, a different philosophy, even if you want to stick with the 3-4 defense, but a different mindset in there could make all the difference in the world. But I think something has to change. And whether that'll happen or not, like whether Andy Reid will pull the trigger on that, or whether Clark Hunt will dictate that needs to happen, that'll remain to be seen.
That's Mark Boerker. Mark, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I took it a little easy on TV. Let's get to it now. It's on radio. Tune into Sports Radio 810 WHB, and I'm going to lose my mind right now.